Welcome to Who Are You? The ILTA podcast, which aims to explore how industry leaders got to where they are today in their e-discovery careers. My name is Jared Casalia. I'm the president and founder of True Staffing Partners, and we're dedicated exclusively to staffing and career management in the e-discovery and litigation support community. I am very excited to be joined here today by someone whom I've had the supreme pleasure of representing over the last 5 years, Karen Rocco. Karen, tell us who you are, where you work, and what you do.
Hi, thanks, Jared. I'm Karen Rocco. I'm the manager of electronic discovery for Grayson Ellsworth. We're a boutique firm in Midtown Manhattan. We specialize in structured finance litigation. And basically, I'm responsible here for everything from service provider selection to process definition to project management and pretty much all other aspects of e-discovery at the firm.
Fantastic. Take us back a little bit, Karen, and tell us how you fell into Lit Support. And when did you know that this would be a career path for you?
Well, I was recruited into litigation support by Jim McKenna at Morrison & Foerster back when he ran the practice support department there. I had transferred to the New York office from the San Francisco office and was working as a litigation paralegal. And I happened to be staffed on one of their largest matters, and it involved a huge electronic discovery component. And as it happened, we had started down one path and wound up at one point needing to, the volume was just too huge and we needed to change directions. And so we figured out how to make that happen. And in the meantime, I became one of the sort of the firm experts of electronic discovery.
And is that where you first began dealing with the technology and having to get hands-on with the technology and stepping outside maybe the traditional bounds of what it meant to be a paralegal at the time?
Well, actually, I spent 8 years prior to Morrison & Foerster working for software and technology companies in the Bay Area and Silicon Valley, in between stints of paralegal work and a year of law school way, way back when. And so I found the technology very intuitive. I certainly hadn't worked specifically with that type of technology up to that point, but it was a very natural segue into that area. And I really enjoyed the intersection of law and technology, and thought, hey, you know, if I can keep doing this and keep finding challenges, this might make a pretty interesting career. And then Jim at one point asked me if I'd like to make a career change from being a paralegal into practice support. And I said, sure, and that eventually morphed into my training and project manager role, and I, you know, kind of just kept reinventing the role as I move forward in it.
So talk to us a little bit about moving out from training and then back into project management and how your career kind of flowed after the MOFO experience.
Well, at Morrison & Foerster, I was sort of in the vanguard, I guess, in terms of project management. The way I fit into their practice support department, I wasn't really a pure technologist, even though I you know, certainly learned how to do concordance, build concordance databases from the ground up. I found myself really enjoying the consultative aspect of the job, the role where I would, you know, work with the various attorney teams and review teams and help them define their requirements, help them interact with their vendors, help track the information flow. And it was really sort of a natural project management role that evolved out of that, even though they didn't really have anything called project management at the time. And so at the time, I tried to put a training curriculum in place for the paralegals, because in that particular firm, that was where they had hoped, where they were hoping to get a lot of the project management around it. And, you know, that certainly had its challenges, because I don't think every paralegal's necessarily a natural e-discovery project manager, but it certainly is an interesting overlap for people who enjoy the two skill sets and want to make something work of both of them.
So would you say that the technology backbone that you brought to your career and that intuitiveness that you talked about before was really one of the keys to success in helping transition your career out of being a traditional paralegal or trainer and into an e-discovery professional?
I think so on a lot of levels. I mean, first of all, there's obviously being comfortable with technology and not being afraid to step in a new direction and learn something new. Excuse me. In another respect, you know, the technology, it's more than just the technology. It's knowing. It's knowing what you need.
It is knowing.
Sorry about that. It's knowing what you want to do with the technology. It's, it's certainly being open to, I think it's just bringing that whole mentality where you're getting away from, oh, these are just tools, to figuring out, well, you know, what do I want to do with these tools and what purpose, what problems am I trying to solve?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's all about the problems we're trying to solve. And
right.
After you left MOFO, I know you went to one of the biggest defense firms in the country, Sullivan & Cromwell, before moving quite recently over to Graves Ellsworth, which is one of the fastest-growing boutique plaintiff firms. What has been some of the differences or similarities between working at the defense side versus the plaintiff side for you in an e-discovery capacity?
Well, all of the law firms prior to Grayson Ellsworth, all my firms had been defense firms, so I kind of had that mindset or that skill set down pretty well. The large productions, the complex litigation, many parties, many vendors involved. Coming over to the other side, it's been a really interesting experience because all of a sudden I have to think about offense. So you're really in a very real sense playing both sides of the field and thinking, when you're vetting your vendors and you're figuring out your strategy, thinking, okay, you know, this is what I have to do to get our own documents out the door. But then, you know, obviously you have to be prepared for what the other parties are going to dump on you. And having been on the side of, you know, being the dumper, I know what I'm now preparing to see what it's like to be the dumpee. And it's just a real different strategy, and it kind of informs your decisions, your choices.
A very different career evolution, but an opportunity that for you was really about stepping into a leadership role and being able to provide not only the skill sets that you've been providing in terms of project management and training, but also now really driving the strategic initiative of the firm at large, correct?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, it's great. Grace is a relatively small firm. I mean, we're growing daily, it seems, but it's really nice to be involved early on, and you know, really just bringing all my prior career experience to bear. There's really nothing in place, which is great, because there's no bad habits to undo, there's no bad processes to have to change, there's no entrenched e-discovery culture here that I have to, you know, fix or modify. It's really all being defined from the get-go. So really, the sum of my experience to this point, and the leadership roles that I had in the, you know, I had various management roles in when I was working in the Valley, it just all comes together here and really makes a very natural progression into, you know, being the manager, being the leader, being the decision maker around all the e-discovery issues here.
I think it's safe to say that a lot of our listeners out there are interested in how to have a successful career that has a vertical trajectory that takes them from potentially paralegal to lit support project manager, and then eventually to lit support e-discovery manager. What would you say are the keys to your success for having moved so successfully through your career over the last 10, 15 years?
Well, I certainly can't really say that my trajectory was just, you know, straight up. I think there were a lot of there were a couple of sideways motions there. There's one step back probably after 8 years in the Valley. You know, I'd kind of ascended to a certain level there, excuse me, and then took a step back to go back to the law world and being a paralegal. So I guess I would say one of the more important things is just not to be afraid to make a move as long as you feel like it's the challenge that you're up for, that you can learn something new from it. Don't be afraid to make a move. And, you know, certainly not being afraid to learn something new, not being able, not being afraid to step into a role where maybe you haven't done all the things before, but you're open-minded and you're ready to learn. You know, certainly communication is a huge strength. Being able to talk to all the different parties who are involved in e-discovery. You know, being able to talk to lawyers, being able to talk to the technologists, the providers. That certainly made it an easier transition, I would say, because throughout this whole process, they're always looking for someone who can bring all the threads together. You know, it's such a multifaceted process, electronic discovery is, and if someone can kind of be quarterbacking it, I think that gets you a long way. So I was never afraid to do things that weren't necessarily in my job description. I wasn't afraid to suggest things that might be added to my job description, fortunately I have ascended in the field, based on the experiences that's been building up, and it's, experience I still think is the most valuable commodity in this field, so I've been very fortunate.
The industry's gone through so much evolution, as you have yourself, in all directions, and I'm wondering if you have any predictions or things you'd like to see change for the future of our industry and community moving into 2012.
Well, it certainly has been an interesting couple of years. It seemed like the industry was kind of going up and up and up, and then the financial crisis and the recession took everyone, knocked everyone a step back or so. And it seems now that the economy is really shaping the field. I think there are a lot of folks trying to get into the field who may not necessarily have a paralegal background or even a legal background or a technology background. And I would like to see folks with this sort of organically grown experience loom large in the industry. I see a trend with some companies and some firms, where they're going after, I need a JD for this position, I need an MBA for this position, and they're looking at degrees and certifications. And I really feel very strongly that this is a field that's still evolving. We're going to get to a point someday where it's standardized and you can take courses and get degrees in this or something maybe, but right now I still think experience is king. So I would hope to see people with real solid lit support experience, real solid paralegal and legal background get into leadership roles in this area. I know it's an attractive industry, it's a growth industry, and you can do very well obviously in it. But I would really like to see it not go too far off the rails and just have everybody calling themselves e-discovery experts.
Karen, you're an absolute pleasure. I have enjoyed this conversation immensely. I know our listeners have too. Do you have any last-minute advice to our listeners who are out there right now building and growing their careers in e-discovery?
Well, all I can say is, it's a great field. It's very exciting. No two projects are ever the same. That's one of the challenges. It's one of the fun parts of it. And I would just encourage anyone who wants to advance to just keep an open mind, not be afraid to make any moves. Keep those relationships and those communication channels open, and just go for it. Because I still think the sky's the limit with the industry, and I think we've only just begun, really.
I completely agree. I think we're maybe toddlers now, maybe in our adolescence as a community.
Yeah, maybe kindergartners.
Maybe kindergartners.
We're getting there,
more each day, and I thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us and our listeners about who you are and what you do, and thank you so much.
Thanks, Jared. It's been a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Thank you.